Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 4, as we continue our thoughts from the book of Matthew. Title of our lesson today is Torments. Torments. Things that torment us. And if you're able, would you please stand as we read from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, down through 22. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these four men who you would use mightily in the early church and their willingness to follow you. Lord, may we be willing to follow you also. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue reading there from Matthew chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." My wife and I, through the years, have enjoyed walking by water, be it on our honeymoon when we walked along the shores of Lake Superior, or on other occasions when we have walked along rivers. But I think that Donna most enjoys walking along the Pacific coastline, especially when the tide goes out and the tide pools are there. There's just something about walking along the water. And then you want to be there when the sun sets. And if it's a water that is facing the west and the sun just falls into the water, it's a beautiful thing. And here we see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And as he's walking, he sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, fishing. The Bible says that's what they did for an occupation. They fished. And he calls to them to follow, and they did. What was there about this man that they straightway or immediately followed him? Well, we would have to guess it was the testimony of John the Baptist, who talked about this one who was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that he then called them and they followed. And now the three of them are walking by the water, and we're not sure how far the fishing dock was where Peter and his brother were with their ship and where James and John and Zebedee are with their ship. But now he comes to find two more men, also fishermen, and he calls them. And these two are mending their nets when Jesus calls them to follow him. And the Bible says immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. Jesus says to all, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." One is written that the Lord is always calling those into his service that are already used to working. Be they shepherds like David, be they herdsmen like Amos, others who took care of vineyards, and here we have fishermen. "But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus, with these four men, travel around Galilee, teaching and preaching the kingdom. And we find that while he is doing this, he's healing all manner of people of sickness, and those with diseases, and those possessed with devils. And yes, I do believe people can be possessed of devils. And we find that he is healing these people, and his fame spreads throughout the area, north and south, so that great multitudes, the Bible says, follow him. They've brought unto him sick people. And it is from here that I get our theme and the title, Torments. If you look up the word torments or torment, it means agony. And may I say that some of you may not be in physical agony, but you may have some other agony in your life. Anguish, suffering, misery, distress, abuse, annoyance, irritation. "He's looking at me," or "he's touching me." You ever have your kids do that in the back seat? Yes. Trouble. This life has many troubles, many issues, many torments. But take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. How about in the next life? Can there be torments in the next life? We're going to read here a story. It is not a parable. Jesus never named anybody in a parable. But in this story of the rich man and Lazarus, we find there is a man named Lazarus. And may I say this, that the rich man who we are going to find in hell is not put in hell because he's rich. Because if you go to hell because you're rich, then Job is there. And Abraham. And Solomon. God never says it's wrong to become rich. Just having the right attitude about our financial whereabouts is what's important. But we're going to find here a true story that Jesus relates to us, beginning at verse 19 of Luke 16. "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Reverend Virgil Edwards says of this story here in Luke 16, that people in hell are begging for mercy, but it is too late, unquote. Some thoughts. Number one, they are begging for mercy because of what they see. Verse 23 says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. They see where they are. They see the agony in which they find themselves. Not only do they see where they are, but they realize where they could have gone. Our Lord is desirous that all will repent, that all will come to know the Lord as Savior. But there are those who will not, because they will reject it. And instead of being in heaven, they will spend their afterlife in hell. Point number two, they are begging for mercy because of their torments. There is no hope. There's no hope. There's no light. They are in utter darkness because the light is gone. Verse 24 says, for I am tormented in this flame. The awful flames, the pain of being burned but never being consumed. Maybe you've experienced that where you have touched the eye on your stove and burnt a finger or a hand. Maybe you were too close to a fire and a fire burned you. John 3:37 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You say, Pastor Paul, why is God sending wrath upon man? Because God came to die for us. Jesus, being part of the Godhead, came and he died for you and for me. And when we reject him, you will suffer the consequences. You have rejected the greatest gift ever given, that of Jesus Christ. And when we reject him, we will suffer the wrath of God. Number three, they are simply begging for mercy. We find in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How much water can you get on the tip of your finger? Not very much. Not very much. I have up here a little bottle of water. Now, that's not much water, but that rich man would have loved it to have just that little bit of water. And he is in this flame, and he is in burning condition, but he is not being consumed, and he begs for mercy. Point number four, they are begging for mercy because of their memories. Notice verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime will have memories in our life to come. And those that are in hell will remember the opportunities that they had to come to Christ. They will remember those that told them of their need. They will remember their refusal to the gift. They will remember that they said no when asked. Number five, they are begging for mercy because there is no escape. They will want to escape that dreadful place. Billions have already suffered for decades, centuries, and millenniums. Begging. There is no second chance. Some teach that the Lord will go into hell and that he will give people a second chance and bring them out. That is heresy. There are those who believe they can pray somebody out of hell. No. The decision has been made. The sentence has been given. Either you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and will spend eternity with Jesus and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit and fellow believers, or you'll spend eternity in hell fire. And point number six of six, They are begging for mercy for those not yet dead. Let's begin reading, if you would please, now at verse 26. And besides, verse 27, excuse me. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They are begging for mercy for those who aren't dead. I have five brethren, he says. Send someone to them so they won't come here, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now, I do not know the spiritual condition of any in this room. I know that many of you claim to know Christ as your Savior, and you've been baptized by immersion. You're a member of our church. But only you know if you've truly accepted Christ as your Savior. But I want to say to you that do not know Christ as your Savior. Someone right now is begging that you will not enter that place of torment. In just a moment, we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If Elvis Presley could come back right now and just give one sentence, he would say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If Mother Teresa came back right now and could tell you one thing, only one thing, she would say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If any person that you know, be it Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, since we have their banners on the wall, if they could come back and only tell you one thing, it would be accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Charles Darwin, if he could come back right now, he would say, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no greater decision that you will ever make in your life than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we could name your grandparents or your great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents. They would come back, and if they could only say one thing, they would say, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's not to scare you, to make you cringe, but it is to scare you into realizing there is a need and that Jesus Christ came to take care of the need. It is a gift. But you don't have to accept the gift. You don't have to. A while back, I received something in the mail saying that if I called, I would receive a gift. I didn't call. And I didn't receive the gift. Jesus Christ is calling, tenderly calling, wanting you to come. But the decision is yours. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would please, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song will be 382, Softly and Tenderly. I guarantee you that this rich man desired one more opportunity to get things right. And I guarantee you, men and women are dying today who within seconds wish that they had one more opportunity. You have an opportunity. This morning, as we have the invitation, maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know doesn't know Christ as their Savior, or you have doubts about. Or maybe you'd like to come and accept Christ as your Savior. We'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you have to do to accept Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move and touch hearts, asking, Lord, that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.